Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 through 27. At the end of the vision, a holy one asked how long a time the events of the vision would occupy. The reply was, unto 2,300 days, Daniel 8, verses 13 and 14. Here, and in Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12, specific, measurable periods of time are spoken of in connection with these things. Simply stated, I have never been able to satisfy myself by the scripture as to the application of these time periods. God did not explain to the prophets of old each detail of his purpose for the Gentiles or the church. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12. It may be that he will not fully reveal the details of his future plans for Israel to us. This part of the vision is not dealt with in the interpretation which God gave to Daniel. Of one thing we may be sure, however, he will show us all things which are a part of his revelation for us, if we desire to know. Deuteronomy 29:29, John 16, verses 12 and 13, and Philippians 3, verses 15 through 16. For me to go beyond this would be an intrusion on my part into things which the Lord has not revealed to me. Daniel desired to know. He sought for the meaning, and God sent Gabriel to explain the vision to him, Daniel 8, verse 16. Yet it is good to remember always the effect that revealed truth has on the flesh. When Gabriel came near to Daniel to give him understanding, Daniel was afraid and fell on his face, Daniel 8, 17. After the interpretation was given, Daniel fainted and was sick for a number of days before he was able to undertake the business affairs of the king once again, Daniel 8:27. The things he had seen in this vision were so terrible in their meaning and implications that he was astonished by them. Astonished means stunned or devastated. When God begins to show us the depths to which men will allow themselves to be corrupted, or the awfulness of the destruction resulting from human sin, or the insidious way in which Satan works, the revelation is devastating. Nor did anyone else understand the vision and its effects on Daniel. Those to whom God reveals his deepest secrets and purposes must usually stand alone without the comfort of full fellowship and encouragement from those around them. The first thing that caused Daniel grief over this vision was undoubtedly the phrase, "when the transgressors are come to the full," Daniel 8:23. He knew that these would be Israelites according to the flesh. He undoubtedly recalled that when God spoke to Abram, promising Canaan to his seed, he said they would not receive it until the fourth generation. As a reason for this, he said, "For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Genesis 15, verse 16. That is, God would not destroy the Amorites who occupied the land until their sins overflowed, demanding a national judgment. Daniel realized that what awaits his people will come not because of their righteousness as a people, but because of their sin. The godly will be a minority among them. Many Israelites cooperated with Antiochus Epiphanes when he sought to eradicate true godliness. These were the host that was given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, Daniel 8, verse 12. So it will be again. Daniel was grieved that his people, blessed by God above every other nation on earth, would stand in such utter opposition to him. Simply viewing the rise of that wicked king to power was another cause for great heaviness to the heart of Daniel. Sin is depressing, great sin is more so. We would not wish to view the course of sin without God's help to endure the sorrowful knowledge it must bring. Yet we must see such things in order to understand the scope of his goodness in overthrowing Satan and all who cooperate with his schemes. A look, then, at this one prefigured in the person of Antiochus Epiphanes, who shall stand up to deceive and to rule over the whole world. He will be a king of fierce countenance, Daniel 8:23. The hardness of his heart and the harshness of his character will not be concealed. They will be written upon his countenance. When he comes to power, men will not be deceived so much by an apparent goodness in the man and his deeds as by the fact that they will want to believe him in spite of what they see. The evil in this man will be so strongly marked that Satan will have to work a special powerful deception in order to put him over. This will be allowed because men will have made clear their preference for lies over truth. Read again 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 9 through 12, which says in part, "They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Understanding dark sentences indicates that he will be a master of intrigue. Daniel 8:23. Notice also that through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Daniel 8:25. The word translated craft carries the thought of fraud, guile, subtlety, and treachery. He will be put forward as a man of great goodness and finally as a god. Neither God nor those who are yielded to him work in such a way as this man will work. God's instructions to those who have seen his purpose is, "Wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry." Habakkuk 2:3. After David was anointed king, he did not try to gain the throne by his own scheming and willingness, even when Saul tried to murder him. He waited for God to do his own will. Only on the one occasion when he turned his heart from the Lord and sinned in taking Bathsheba did he involve himself in intrigue and treachery, first to conceal the sin and then to murder Uriah. Sin requires craftiness, righteousness doesn't. Do not trust a schemer and a planner, no matter how wise and successful he seems to be. This evil ruler will prosper. For the short time he is allowed to sit on the throne of power, his political success and the extent of his authority will unquestionably surpass that of any Gentile ruler who has preceded him. This will be a result of his extreme ungodliness, not an indicator of divine blessing. The scripture says of Ahithophel, a man who plotted with Absalom to overthrow David, "The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." 2 Samuel 16:23. He knew exactly what moves should be made to defeat David and just how and when to make those moves. He knew these things as clearly and accurately as if God had told him. But God did not tell him. His was a rebellious worldly wisdom. "His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." Daniel 8:24. It is good to know where a man gets his authority. A few years ago, several men broke into a Washington, D.C. hotel suite. The consequences of that break-in eventually rocked the nation and brought down a president. Many of those involved went to prison. Yet some of the men who carried it out were told that they were working for a government agency in defense of national security. Again, it is good to know what is really behind a man. "And the dragon gave him his power." Revelation 13:2. Ignorance is no excuse in a court of law. Crime is still crime, whatever else may be said. How much less will failure to know that Satan is the power behind an evil man excuse his followers? Certainly we know that those who follow Antichrist will do so from accountable, willful ignorance, not excusable innocence. "This king of fierce countenance shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Daniel 8:24. We can see Satan's target. He would touch God by destroying his people. The Antichrist will move against Israel, not the compromising transgressors, Israelites only in name and ancestry, but those who will be Israelites indeed, a people who will have power with God. Those Jews who have foolishly allied themselves with the Antichrist will be crushed and tossed aside, of course, but the obliteration of the godly will be his real aim. He will not perceive that God will but use him as an instrument for judgment on the wicked and for greater rewards to the righteous. The destruction he causes will be a wonder, an amazing thing. None, or so it will appear, will be able to stand against him. Remember, he will even murder the two witnesses whom God will raise up against him. It will be with the godly remnant as it was with Job when God allowed Satan to move against him for a time. Notice one more thing about this satanic man's deeds before we look with relief at his end. "By peace shall he destroy many." Daniel 8:25. Observation and Scripture teach that Satan has accomplished damage to more lives by lulling them into a false sense of worldly security or prosperity than he has through open frontal attack. Thus does he deceive and ensnare the unwary to their hurt. May God's people always see the need for that watchfulness which the world finds foolish. 1 Corinthians 10:12. What will be the end of this mighty man? He shall be broken without hand. Daniel 8:25. You will recall from Daniel 2 that the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream was finally shattered by a stone cut out without hands. That stone is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Princes. Not even in the final all-out effort when he is allowed to do all which his strength and wile can enable him to do, will Satan and his allies find a way to gain a victory against the Savior of mankind. Yes, the hideous works of Satan are devastating indeed to behold, but like Daniel, we recover ourselves and go trusting God by the knowledge of him whose people we are, of him who is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 24, verse 8.